The Gospel according to St. Matthew in chapter 14. Matthew 14. Praise the Lord. Once again, I want to say it's my honor to be here today. Thank you, sir. Thank you, church, for the privilege. Matthew 14 from verse 22. I'll read rather. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all that surrounding region, brought to him all who were sick, and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him, they were made well. Today, somebody will find a solution to the many answers of life that you have been asking God in the name of Jesus. I say somebody will find solutions to problems and challenges in the name of Jesus. Our text opens with a word, immediately. I didn't read English. I studied enough to be able to express myself and to read books. Thank God my parents were that responsible and loving. So at least I can express myself. And I can understand when people are talking. Immediately. I think this word will always stir up curiosity. If I just walk up to Pastor Oshola and I say, "Immediately." You know what he will think? What is it that he's thinking that will make him say to me, "Immediately"? I try to look for this word in the English dictionary. It's a connecting word. It connects events. But this is where the Lord will have me read out to us today. I don't know what events have been in your lives. Greater ones are ahead of you in Jesus' name. Let me say it again. Greater ones are ahead of you in the name of Jesus. But this word here connects to events. And the one before you can see very easily, very popular, the feeding of the 5,000. So immediately that feat was performed, immediately that miracle happened and they were through with it, Jesus got them all into the boat. I said, come on, let's cross over. Come on, go to the other side. I asked myself the question. I said, why then Jesus? Because normally, you know, the master had disciples and he was really training them. Really, what is discipleship? Leadership training. Yeah? Yeah? Mm-hmm. He chose 12 of them. He delegated to them while he was here. Now he left to heaven. He's still in charge. But they are the ones. They were the ones that continued here on earth. He trained them, tested them, got them well proven, and committed to them. So when we talk of discipling, training in leadership, and the best Bible school, the best leadership school ever, the one that Jesus takes, the one that he takes himself. He taught them in the physical. He's still teaching us in the, at least spiritually today. So he trained them and he released them, and they have done excellently well, I believe. They've trained so many others, otherwise I will never have a chance. So I began to think about this place. Why didn't he get them to assist him? They assisted him in many things. Immediately after the program, or after the breakthrough, or after the exploit, he got them all into the boat. Look at your Bible, you see that he got them into the boat. And he told them to go to the other side. Then he came back by himself to dismiss the crowd. He didn't get them to assist in dismissing the crowd. I don't know. But I guess what happened was this. You haven't seen anything yet. You've achieved. But what you've achieved is just an introduction. Greater things are ahead of you. In the name of Jesus. And rather than allow this little success get into your head, come on, get to the other side. I'll handle the rest myself. And having dismissed the crowd, guess what? He went up to pray. I won't let it get into my head too. Now listen to me, church. Two things will stop a man's destiny. The present success or the discouragement along the way to the destiny. So Jesus was making sure that he didn't get into their heads. You've got to learn restraint, discipline with everything you're learning. Master, how did you do that? A little boy's mere. Feeding 5,000? How did you conjure abundance out of little or nothing? Wow. Guys, get into the boat. Crossover. Crowd. Well done, thank you. Program ended. You can go away. He went to the mountain. Shakatala Borukosetia. You know why? Because in one other part of the Bible, after feeding them, they came to make him king. So what's the title of our message today? It's your next level. In the name of Jesus. Come on, tell your neighbor, say it's my next level. Oh, glory be to God in the highest. He's my next level. The devil is a liar. You know, this guy is just messed up. He's a failure. He always comes too late. Yeah. See the way he went to employ Balaam to come and stop the blessed people of God. Balaam said, hey, I have a commandment to bless. You are talking of a blessed people. They are already blessed. No man can reverse it. Somebody here is blessed. Beyond the curse. In the name of Jesus. Sometimes you just want to sing a song. Oh, no. I'm out of my territory. Well, yeah. Jesus is Lord. I'm glad to be here. He sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up the mountain by himself. I wrote here when I was meditating on this scripture. Everybody may be praying for you. God wants to hear you pray. The truth is, you've got to pray. The whole world may be praying for you. Thank God for praying mothers. Thank God for caring pastors. By himself. He went up the mountain to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone. Maybe not so for many people, because we all cherish our times alone. I'm talking of our solitudes. But the truth is, I think I prefer to be with people more than I'm alone. I have my quiet times, but I'm a people person. But see, the truth is this. If this destiny is going to be attained, I have to learn from time to time to leave them alone and go away alone. And the truth is, a lot of times when I'm alone, after 3 minutes, I feel like talking to someone and I have to go back. After 5 minutes, oh, no, go back. It's a discipline. I want you to just watch what happened here. I believe that God has concluded somebody's life. And from today, in the name of Jesus, your songs, the lyrics of your songs, rather, will be very clear. Very, very clear. The world will marvel in the name of Jesus. Somebody asked the question, so sometimes you just say some things. I say, yeah, sometimes I say some things unscripted. I always pray to God to help me say the right thing at the right time for the right person. There's someone here. I say, from today, the confusion that has beclouded your life will give way. In the name of Jesus. You ask yourself the questions time and over and over. What with me? Why me? I thought I was going to make it this way. I thought by now. And I say, from now, no more discordant tunes from your instruments. In the name of Jesus. I say, you never play out of tune again. In the name of Jesus. It's your next level. In Jesus' name. So Jesus took care of that and he went up there praying. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea. If you put your finger there and flip with me to Mark 5. The middle of the sea. Hallelujah. Trying to get the Mark, I'm sorry, Mark 6. Yeah. Immediately from 45. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat. So they're reporting exactly the same way. Immediately he made them. He made them get into the boat to go to the other side, or to go to the other side to Bethsaida. Why he sent the multitude away? He sent the multitude away. And when he has sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Exact. Now, when evening came, this is Mark, sounding like Matthew, the boat was in the middle of the sea and it was alone on the land. So we are getting the same account exactly. It was alone on the land. The boat was in the middle of the sea. One version says, when the boat was in the midst of the sea, or so many furlongs away from the shore. And the first thing that occurred to me as the Spirit of God kind of told me was this. Do you know that if they never set sail? Let me read that, please. Let me read it through. He was alone on the land, verse 48. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them. Now flip back to our Matthew, so that we can get it there too. But the boat was now in the middle, verse 24, of the sea, in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Matthew said the wind was contrary. Mark said the wind was against them. But the master who set them forth said to them, cross over to the other side. You see, the interesting thing here is that the master originated the journey. He personally got them into the boat. And they set sail. So I said to me, what if they never set sail? Then they would never have witnessed the mid-sea storm. The man that will not set out will not witness any storm, and he will achieve nothing. Can I say it again? I can play it safe. I can choose to play it safe. Had the church chosen to play it safe after the beheading of James, there would be no Christianity today. You only suffer the storm in the middle of the sea because you are doing something. You are in the midst of an activity. You are conquering grounds. You are going somewhere to achieve something. So for everyone who will travel on the sea to another port or to another or to a destination, you will suffer some turbulence. It's normal. The wind was contrary. It's amazing. Sometimes you just wonder, why will the wind be contrary? But the wind was contrary. And that was it. The Matthew account said that they were struggling. They were rowing with effort. They were struggling. They got to a stage, they got scared. I mean, I was ministering yesterday at the showers, the London showers, and I think something similar came up. And I said, it's natural to fear. When you hear some things and you encounter certain things, the natural, your natural reaction would be fear. But it's okay. After all, you are still a natural being. Howbeit, you are supernatural. But you dwell in the natural realm. Don't forget that. Even Jesus said, they are in the world, but they are not of the world. So Father, I pray for them. Don't forget. So now they were struggling. Maybe I should tell someone this. You've asked too many questions. I think it's time to stop. Make up your mind. Resolve to continue. It's a pointer to one fact. You are achieving. You are in the process of conquering something. And that's why you're witnessing what you're witnessing. Don't give up. Let's talk a little bit about storms. I tried to understand this. I said, God, help me. Why were they afraid? Peter was there. Professional fisherman. Andrew was there. Professional fisherman. James was there. John was there. They were all professionals. They were used to the sea. So why was this strange? And also the master commissioned this journey. But they got scared after a while. But you know the interesting thing about this? Jesus was all the while praying. And the two accounts will have us understand that from where he was praying, he could see them. Can I tell someone? His eyes are still on the sparrow. Your circumstance does not define his person. He's the master over all circumstances. He's the master over all circumstances. Talking about storms. It had happened before this. So that's why, for me, I began to question. I said, why were they scared? Okay, now I can explain. Maybe because the first time it happened, Jesus was right there. But this time around, he wasn't there. And so they thought, look, hey, we're in big trouble. Because this time around, he's not here. But let's leave that at that. Let's come. Storms. I think it's the sudden nature of storm that really scared them more than anything. Otherwise, they've had experiences before. I tried to look for the definition of storm. Violent weather. Violent commotion or disturbance, a sudden attack, a violent assault on a defended or secured position. Oh, I guess that was what happened. Because they thought everything was fine. They thought they understood the sea and understood the process. But suddenly something was happening that was getting out of their control. That's a storm. Hello. I said, that's a storm. Anybody ever experienced a storm in life? I have. Oh, yes, I have. Oh, yes, I have. Oh, I have. Let's still talk about these storms for a while. I think they are natural to life. Yes. Because even when Jesus was in the boat, there was a storm. So nobody is exempted. As a matter of fact, somebody said, you're in one of three positions sitting here today or standing because some of us are standing. You say, what are the three positions? Just coming out of a storm? Hello? Or going through one right now? Or fortifying yourself against one. That defines life. That's the total definition of life. Still talking about storms. Interesting. Somebody said when they come, they don't leave you the way they met you. Yeah, they don't. One of two things would have been achieved. Correcting you or perfecting you. Any way you look at it, they leave you with an experience. I'm talking about storms. You always learn something with every storm. And the interesting thing, they leave you better prepared
for your destiny.
No matter how tough, no matter the duration,
they leave you better prepared for your destiny. Storms.
But you see, the interesting thing about this is this. With every storm, his eyes are on the sparrow. He handled it in a very interesting way when he was in the boat with them. They went to him and said, "Master, don't you care that we perish? Who told you that the storm will kill you? Who told you that the storm will terminate your destiny?" No, they can't. They will come and they will go. I said they will come and they will go. In the name of Jesus, they will go. Can I be frank with you? It was James Cleveland that sang a song many years ago. He said, "This too shall pass." Again, that defines life. This too shall pass. Regardless of how hurting, how strong, how poignant, it will pass. I will testify. I will show forth the glory of God in the land of the living, in the name of Jesus. But the me you see at the other side of the storm is not the same me that you saw before the storm. Hello? Praise the Lord. So what did he do then? He got up. The Bible said he rebuked the wind because it was contrary. And he spoke to the sea. This morning, in the name of Jesus, whatever contrary wind is blowing in your life or situation, we rebuke it in Jesus' name. We calm the sea of your life in the name of Jesus. Somebody will testify. In the name of Jesus. In fact, I will testify. Oh, yes, I will testify. In the name of Jesus, I will testify. Glory be to God in the highest. After all, the Bible says, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, I have been blessed. I will testify. In the name of Jesus, he says, I'm more than a conqueror. I will testify. In the name of Jesus, I will testify. I have loads of testimony, but passing through, I will testify. Tomorrow, I will have a better testimony than today. In the name of Jesus. Isn't God wonderful? Isn't he faithful? And so Jesus was watching them from where he was praying. And I said to God, I said, God, help me. This thing about prayer is interesting. You know, Jesus was teaching the disciples and he said, men ought always to pray. Luke 18. And not what? Faint. Something will keep you steady on the course of life, regardless of what may be thrown at you. And that is prayer. One version says that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. Another version says men ought always to pray and not be cowardly. That means that if you're not praying, there are certain things that will happen that will make you become scared. And they will rob you of your confidence. But I reject that for you in Jesus' name. We are not told that disciples were praying. They were too consumed with rowing the boat and getting to the other side. Jesus was praying. He was always anticipatory of challenges. And so he was a master of all situations. From today, I put you a step ahead of all the lies of the devil in the name of Jesus. The Bible says you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Oh, yes, you are. You are unstoppable. And that's the truth. The Bible says the greater one lives inside of you. Glory be to God in the highest. If there is no reason, God will not allow you to be here for now. So it is four times like this that you are here. That shows you are special. Forget the wind. It can be contrary. Both the wind and the boat and you, somebody made you all. And he who made you up set you forth. You will get there in the name of Jesus. Oh, I can't hear you. I say you will arrive safely in Jesus' name. You may arrive there in the turbulence, but you will get there. I say you will get there in the name of Jesus. So be assured, he who has said go will be there to say welcome, good and faithful servant. In the name of Jesus. After all, he's Alpha and he's Omega. Thank God his name is not just Alpha. It's not just the first. He is the last. Oh. It's not just the beginning. Is the ending.
the story will not be concluded without him saying, welcome. Be assured, you're already a winner. In the name of Jesus. Glory be to God in the highest. I say glory be to God.
So in the fourth watch, Jesus, having watched them for a while, struggling, came walking. Oh my God. Always unruffled. Always unruffled. Ever in control. But he's understood. Without him was nothing made that was made.
For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasures they are. Thou art worthy.
Thank you. You may be seated. Let me just round off this message. Thank you. So all things submit to him. All things submit to him. Hallelujah. So the Bible said they were so scared. They cried for fear. And Jesus came walking on the sea. And they saw him. And they could not imagine that. Wait a minute. For a man to walk on the sea, it was an aberration. Walk on the sea. He wasn't just walking on the sea, sir. Sir, he was not just walking on the sea. He was walking on a turbulent sea. So that further scared them. No wonder they concluded, he must be a ghost. This is not normal. You know, the account of Mark has it differently. He said Jesus came walking to them, walking on the sea, and he would have walked past them. Wait a minute. He got them into the boat and said, cross over. So where is he coming from? From where they set out. So if he had walked past them, where would he be going? Alpha and Omega. You need a boat. He doesn't need it. Okay, I think we're getting to it. I can feel it. God is about to surprise somebody. Yeah. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. If you believe, all things are. Bah, 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 bah. If you believe, all things are. So it would have walked past them. Then they cried out in fear. Then Jesus spoke. I tried to do a little study. I realized that in the turbulence of life, there's always a voice. There is always a voice. I won't get into that. I would have given you 2, 3, 4 areas, but my time. So he spoke. And that was what calmed their fears. Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. I'm behind the scene. I'm not causing this trouble, but I'm in control. Peter, you know. Turbulent sea in the boat, no, struggling to get it, to hold his balance. If it is you, bid me come. I may be shaken, but by his grace, I'm still hearing. And I will continue to listen by his grace.
says you hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. You know what he said? Come. Peter, this is scary enough. The turbulence. And then a seeming ghost approaching. If it is you, master, tell me, come. Come. My sheep hears my voice. All right, my sheep hear. Yeah, they hear my voice. The Bible didn't say he hesitated. No, they left the shore. That was why they saw the turbulence. They took a risk. Come on. Peter is taking a double risk. In the storm, Peter came out of the boat. If it is you, God help me to know. Teach me your ways, O Lord. That's my prayer. If it is you, then why am I worried? Peter came out in the turbulence. Double risk. The only one to do it. And the Bible says he walked on the water. The master walked on the water. You will walk on the water. And the Bible says he continued to walk until suddenly he saw the boisterous. Comment. You thought it was your end. It was an orchestration for a strange exploit. Now you think this is your end. Now hear me. It's your moment. It's your next level. It's your moment for strange exploits. The kind of feat that men have never accomplished before. The devil meant it for evil. But it was your introduction to another level. Oh. Peter did what no man ever did. You know, I wrote I'd imagine my Bible. If there was no storm, if there was no ghost, if he was not afraid, he would never have walked. I don't pray that God should take away fears. The fears that will make me run to him, let it come. You react two ways to fear. You either get out to do something that you've never done before and achieve the feats you've never achieved before, or you go paralyzed and drop everything. Peter started walking and walking. Then he saw the boisterous wind, or sea rather. And he got scared again. Fear now took over. Paralyzing fear took over. But then he didn't just keep quiet. If he had kept quiet, he would have gone. Although Jesus would have allowed him. When he saw that, I just taken some steps. I've walked for some minutes, probably. If I walk this far, and I'm now sinking, help me, master! The Bible says, his hands are not too short that he cannot deliver. I don't know how far he was, but don't be deceived. I don't think he was that near. If he was that near, he wouldn't have shouted. He would have dived to hold him. A sinking man will go down with anything around him. So he must have been far away. So when he shouted, all the master did was just, hey. And whatever the distance, his hands are not too short. It's not too short. Don't limit yourself. Don't let circumstances define your future. The Bible says you are complete in him who is the head of all principalities and powers. The truth is that you are special. Believe me, you are uniquely special. You are created for a particular purpose in the kingdom of God. And you will achieve it in Jesus' name. I say you will achieve it in Jesus' name. So Peter walked on the sea. Yes, with all the crying out and all, he walked on the sea. It's on record that only Peter has walked on the sea other than Jesus. I don't know what problems the devil is bringing your way, but this problem will make you do what no man has ever done in Jesus' name. That's the truth. That's the truth. Then Jesus took him by the hand and the two of them got back into the boat. Now, maybe they walked together, or the moment he took him, they were in the boat, or they got into the boat. I don't know. But they were back in the boat.
Then he said something. Or he did something. He rebuked him for his lack of faith. Peter, you were doing well. Why did you fear? I rebuke every fear in your life today in the name of Jesus. And then the next thing that happened was that they all came and everybody in the ship now worshipped him. Why would they say everybody in the ship? So what that tells me was that there were not just 12 in the ship. And so those who didn't believe, believed. Those who believed before got to another level of believing. Glory be to God in the highest. And then the Bible, the story didn't stop there. It said, and they got to the other side of the boat, of the sea. And when they got there, people were waiting. And they brought all who were sick and whatever. And Jesus, we are not asking you to pray for them. Just let them touch you. Just let them touch you. Just let them touch you. What kind of faith was that? They just touch you. And as many as touched him received their healings. The same Jesus is here today inviting kings. All I've come to do is to introduce you to what he has done for you. Is your next level in Jesus' name. Hey, hello? I say it's your next level in Jesus' name. Can I say it again? Is your next level in Jesus' name? I say it is your next level in Jesus' name. Storms of life will come, but they come to promote you in the name of Jesus. And I believe in the name of Jesus, when next I come, there will be loads and loads of testimonies in Jesus' name. Can I tell you the way I'm thinking? I say, what is the strange thing that this man wants to do? Because there is something strange he wants to do. Oh, let me put it another way. What's the strange thing, God, that you want to do with this man? Because there is something strange. And if he's doing something strange with your pastor, then that means he's about to do something strange with your people. In your marriage, something strange. Oh, okay, let me go to those who need it. I say, any married woman here? Ah. Something strange. Something beautiful. Something wonderful. Something awesome. Any businessman here? Any student here? Any career person here? I say something strange. Something wonderful. Something beautiful. Something awesome. In the name of Jesus. In other words, what we've achieved so far is just a mere introduction. God is about to do a new thing. You may be sitting for 2 minutes. I'm through though. Remember how we started? Two things the devil will use to stop a man's destiny: present success or discouragement. The two of them were dealt with in this story. Don't get too excited with the current achievement and so lose out on the future. Or don't get too discouraged with what you are seeing with the resistance of today and now lose out on the future. Learn to handle both very well. So in other words, it's beyond excitement here today. What we are saying is that there are achievers in this house. And the level of achievement has not been defined by man. In the name of Jesus. You see, the world is interesting. Very, very interesting. When Obama said, yes, we can. They said, yes, we can. I said, what do you mean, yes, we can? Thank God for Obama. The Bible says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I can has always been the Bible all along. Must Obama come to tell you before you know? When will you now go tell them what the Bible has said? It's your turn. I'm not kidding. In Jesus' name, it's your turn. Somebody is saying, what does it mean? How can I get there? Will you change your thinking for goodness sake? If Peter had told anybody I will walk on the water, they say, who are you? But he did. You will walk. I say, in the name of Jesus, you will walk. You will walk. You know, such scriptures in the Bible that says that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. In other words, what Jesus would have achieved, you will achieve. What Jesus would have done in the physical, you will do. In the name of Jesus, you will do. It's not beyond you. Got nothing to do with who you are, where you were born. It's got everything to do with how much of him you know. I'm not kidding. I've just come to talk to someone here today. Let me give this testimony. God just reminded me. Early in our marriage, I mean, with my late wife. I think it was our first year. We were going to work on a certain morning. So much traffic, we were late. I would drop her off, then somewhere, then I would continue my journey to my own office. We were very late. We've been held up for a long time. Then finally, there was a little kind of respite. So, got on the side road and started speeding. As we drove past, my wife said, some good front folks are at the bus stop. Somebody's there waving at you. I said, really? He said, yes. Now I was on the express, the freeway. So I looked for how to pull out. I did. Then I said to her, I said, I would like to know who this person is. Because I felt that somebody was going to stop me. But I thought that my current circumstance was more important. I had to get her to work early, and I was running late too. So I was going to neglect that. And then she was on the shutter. I said, somebody's with me. Wait, wait. I said, why are you stopping me? But my curiosity stopped me, forced me to obedience. I even drove wrongly. I had to reverse. I'm like, God help me. And pretend like I was parked and checking in and reversed until I got to the bus stop. And this lady walked up to me, to us. Said, hey, Bimbo Taiwo, how are you? Oh, faintly. Remembered her just kind of faintly. Said, well, we're going this way. Said, that's my route. Okay, come in. Then she started telling us her story. Ah. How they had defrauded, some folks had defrauded in their bank, her superiors, and how she had been framed, and how she had been locked up for months, and how she just believing, she was believing God rather that God will intervene. She was just telling us ordinary story. We were weeping. We prayed with her. We dropped her off. You know, after that, she was incarcerated. She didn't have a bed. She was sitting on a chair every night and day for 3 years. So we were forced to always go plead with the policeman. Can we see her? At the end, she was acquitted. Because she never did it. Why would God have us pass drive through? Because God would want to comfort her. Thereafter, things turned around for both her and her husband. Tremendously. I don't know where they are now. But I knew that somebody was about to stop me. But I was not ready for it. Jesus passed through Jericho. He was too concerned with the activities of the next week. The torture, the neglect, the dying on the cross. The Bible said his face was fixed towards Jerusalem. But there was a blind man crying. I don't know why we are passing through this moment. But I know that it's for someone's destiny. Father, we worship. You are Alpha. Very solemn. Solemn.
We worship you, our Lord.
You worship.
This person know that you are entering your season of strange exploits in the name of Jesus. You have entered your season of strange exploits. He was born blind and every day was the same until this particular day. Somebody has struck that day in the name of Jesus. You know, I checked my Bible again. Yes, he parted the waters for the children of Israel. He parted the Red Sea, he parted Jordan. Elijah used his mantle to split the water. But Peter walked on the water. Can I tell someone here? God has so much designed your place. Be satisfied with God and God alone. The world has been waiting. Your time has come. In the name of Jesus, your time has come. What if nobody can do what you can do? If nobody else can do what you can do, we'll be forced to respect you. Yeah? I don't know who you are. Like I felt that morning. I can feel it here. I don't know who you are. Well, Jesus was praying and he could see. Just pray. God will open your eyes. He will show you the path to walk. He will send you the appropriate people. In the name of Jesus. What seemed impossible with man, God will make possible with you with ease. In the name of Jesus. Your best moments are just starting. In the name of Jesus. I see extra grace, extra favor, extra strength, extra anointing. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.